Now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. As he announced earlier, he's celebrating 3 years of sobriety. Let's give it up for Jonathan.
I'm Jonathan, and I'm an alcoholic. Every time I do this, I think it's going to get easier, but every time I'm just as nervous. I'm grateful to say I'm an alcoholic today. I look around this room and, you know, this is my peers. You guys are my people. Shout out to anyone that came here in a white druggy buggy van, because I've been there before. And, let's see, I don't even know where to start. My life's pretty amazing today due to working the steps and great sponsorship, you know. It helps if your sponsor's got long hair, too. I can't drink alcohol safely. And drugs are part of my story, too. So if that falls in there, you know, I know this is an AA meeting, but I'm just as bad as a drug addict as I am an alcoholic. It's just hand in hand for me. And, you know. Oh, shit. Sorry. I grew up here in Visalia, you know, and I don't have anything from my childhood I could blame for my drinking and using. I think, you know, just from the beginning, you know, it didn't matter, you know, who I was with or how many friends I had. Like, I just something was missing in here. And the minute I found alcohol, everything changed instantly. You know, and it doesn't make me more handsome or dance better or funnier, you know. It just makes me not care. It makes me not care. And I'm going to try really hard not to cuss either, so keep it PG. And, you know, the minute I had my first drink, I knew that I was going to spend a lot of time, you know, trying to recapture that. And I remember in high school, somebody drinking at a friend's house and someone's dad saying, like, you got no business drinking, you know, and not because of my age, but because of how I acted when I drank. And, you know, I'm the kind of guy that stands up on the pool table in your house at 3 a.m. and tells everybody to get out because my parents are going to be home soon. And they usually take pictures, too. Anyways, that was when drinking wasn't as bad, you know, but it takes me down a pretty bad road. And it took, you know, I could put together a little bit of time here and there throughout my life, and usually it was because I was using something else, maybe, to make, you know, marijuana maintenance or pills or, you know, maybe a different environment, but nothing ever lasted long enough, you know, nothing ever shined long enough, and, you know, I'd always think this is it, and, you know, you find yourself saying, well, this ain't it either, you know. I'm going to be doing a lot of this, so it's a deep thought. And I've been cheering all week, you know, you think I'd know what to say. I think tattooing the white part of my eyeball black would be more comfortable for me than standing up here talking to you guys, you know, but, I know. There's so much I want to say, but I don't want to tell someone else's story either. You know, I have this, I could never figure it out until I read the book, the big book. You know, and somebody helped me read it. Well, actually, I read it to him, but he had already read it, you know, and he helped me navigate it. And, you know, it explains it, man, clear as day in the doctor's opinion, what happens to me when I take a drink. You know, it is phenomenon of craving, you know. Phenomenon is unexplainable what happens. But, you know, all I know is I need more right now. And if you have something else, you know, we're going to throw that in there too. Because if one's good, two's better. And if, you know, this makes you feel good, and that makes you feel good. I just mix everything together. I'm not good with substances or alcohol. But the reason I have 3 years of sobriety, it's not because I'm lucky. It's not because I wasn't as bad as anybody in here. It's because I was desperate. I was so desperate for something different when I got here. And, you know, I got so bad, I checked myself into a treatment facility. And I think I've only been to treatment once, you know, when I was right after I turned 27. And it was my idea to go. And I think that's why it worked for me. I remember being in intake and just thinking like, fuck, what did I just do? You know, and the insanity for me is, you know, I got a ride up there from a buddy and we stopped at the store and I was going to get a beer. And I was just like thinking, man, but when I get there, there's not going to be any more alcohol there. You know, like I didn't even want to just have one more hoorah because I knew I was going to be somewhere where I couldn't get the next one. Like, it wouldn't even have been worth it. And I'll never forget drying out, you know, and detoxing this last time. I've tried to do it before. It took me like 6 years of trying. And I actually came to my first AA meeting. I have an uncle that was in the program, and he brought me when I was, I think I was 14. And I had been arrested twice in a week, you know, vandalizing, you know, spray painting stuff around town here in Visalia in the middle of the night, you know, drunk and high. And he obviously knew this is where I was headed, you know, if I lived that long. By the way, I just turned 30 and I made it. I didn't think I would turn 30. Anyways, I remember going to that meeting with him, and everyone looked so comfortable in these, you know, these plain metal chairs, and I was just so uncomfortable in that room, and I was thinking like, man, how did I get the chair that's messed up? You know? And I had the same chair, you know, I just did not feel welcome, and I know how important it is to feel welcome, because if we don't feel welcome, we don't come back. Plain and simple. When I was in treatment, one of the counselors there, we were having a good time, you know, but during group, and one of the counselors there, you know, got our attention and said, only two of you guys are going to make it. And there was like 25 people there, and I was just thinking, man, like, I don't think I'm going to make it back to another treatment facility if I don't get it, because I mean, I hang out with the scum of the earth, man. Like, you can't get any lower. And especially this last time, you know, when I reached my bottom, you know, my bottom's bottom. This last time, it was horrible, man. I did things I never thought I would do for fast money. And ultimately, because I really just was hoping, you know, that something would go terribly wrong and it would just end for me, you know? Because I wasn't going to take myself out of the game, you know? I had to go out like a rock star or, you know, someone else do it. And when you get to a place where you want to die and you're as sick as I was, you're a dangerous person, man. There's nothing you want to take part in. And I found the right people to be around for being in that state, you know? And I remember just, you know, I just couldn't get a sober breath in then. It was anything and everything. And what happened is the alcohol stopped working for me. And so did the drugs. And it was just like, I literally, like, it was like I couldn't get enough in my body. And I, you know, I broadcasted it on Snapchat. You know, I wanted to make it look like I was having fun. You know, I put the demise online. And I remember telling people, you know, oh, yeah, I just got out of rehab. And they were like, well, it looked like you were having so much fun, man. I was jealous. You know, and I was just like, you don't even know. But, you know, when I take a drink, I mean, I wake up in car accidents behind the wheel. I wake up in the backseat of my car. I come to, actually. Backseat of my car, you know, driving home from Stockton, covered in blood, drugs in the car. And that stuff in the car, just for me, from being in the car with the people I'm with, to go to jail for probably, you know, 5 or 6 years. And it like didn't even, it was like normal at that time, man. The violence and then the people I was hanging out with and the conversations I heard, like, it just became normal. And I remember having a moment of clarity on the couch at my place one day and in the early in the morning, you know, and I just remember praying. I was just like, I just looked up, dude, and like I had like a single tear, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And I got a knock on the door like 45 minutes later, and it was my uncle that took me to my first AA meeting. And he knew I was bad, you know. This is, you know, he took me when I was 14, and you know, I'm just about to turn 27 at this time, and he doesn't even live here. And it turns out he was in town, and he wasn't going to leave until he had talked to me. But this man got some words into my head, like, at just the right time. And I don't know, you know, it takes an alcoholic to help an alcoholic, or an addict to help an addict, is what they say. And I can't even remember exactly what he said, but I'm pretty sure, like, he, you know, he used some kind of voodoo to make it seem like it was my idea, you know, to go to treatment. And, you know, everything changed, man, when I got here. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I didn't know if this was going to work. I came to, you know, I got a DUI at 18, and I didn't look at it as, you know, oh, man, I might have a problem. I looked at it as, I don't have to drive this year. You know, and I remember that year, like, I don't remember that year. All I remember is calling people, you know, looking for my wallet the next day, asking who took me home and shit. And, but I came to AA then, you know, and I remember, like, I procrastinated, you know, and I waited until, like, it was almost time for me to get my license back, and I was trying to cram all those meetings on that court card. And I remember going to the Alano Club at noon, and the lady that was secretarying it, I don't remember who it was, but I came from work all the way to my, you know, from, I was working in Hanford area, so I came all the way to my side, catch this meeting at noon, and there was more court cards in the basket than there were, you know, they counted the heads and they knew who didn't have them, who had them. And the lady didn't sign any of them, and I remember being so pissed off, you know. And anyways, I had a friend that was an art major at COS, and he ended up forging them, because I didn't know they didn't check the names, you know. Now I sign court cards, you know, when I'm secretary, and nobody's checking those things, you know. They just look to see if there's a signature and where you went. But anyways, I came back to AA at 25, you know, and I had totaled my second truck, and I think I came just to get people off my ass, you know. And I came for like 3 weeks, and I remember asking someone to be my sponsor. I found a meeting I liked, and I was coming. I met my sponsor that I have today there at that time, but I remember asking a different gentleman to be my sponsor, and he kind of gave me like a backhanded no. And I came to another meeting after that, and it was where my home group is today. And again, I remember being in that meeting, and I didn't hear a damn word. Like, I knew as soon as I leave here, I'm going to the store, you know, and I'm going, you know, I'm going to the trap house down the street, you know. And I did that, man, and it took me years to get back here. Years. And my problem is, you know, the people that I hang out with, you know, I can make a call right now and probably get something, you know. I don't even have to have money. Like, people, I don't know what it is. Like, the people that I, you know, was out there with, like, I make friends with people that have what I need, you know. And I think that's where that, you know, manipulation comes in, you know. If you have something I want, you know, we're going to be best friends. And it took me a long time when I got in here, you know, when people started wanting to, like, call me or ask how I'm doing, you know, I thought these people wanted something from me. And I was just, like, couldn't figure it out, you know. I remember a good friend of mine, Ed A., from my men's meeting, you know, he called me and was like, you want to go to the Springville speaker meeting, you know? And I remember being in the car with him, and I'd be like, man, this guy better not be a weirdo. And he wasn't, man. He was an amazing dude, and he was just helping out the next guy, trying to make me feel welcome. And, you know, and he did just that. And there's tons of people, man, in my story that are just like that. So I got out of treatment. And well, after that counselor had said, only two of us were going to make it, I kind of like was scratching my head and I went, oh shit. And like I really need this to work. And I got on the phone there, you know, with one of the counselors, and I called someone that got me a number for the man that's my sponsor today. And I called him up there, and I'm like, hey, you know, I met you a little over 2 years ago at the men's meeting. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, he's got to remember me. I came for 3 weeks, you know. Like, but he probably didn't remember who I was, you know. But this dude told me, yeah, I'll be your sponsor, but you're going to come to my house once a week, and we're going to read the damn book, and you're going to do your steps. And I said, yeah, man, that's what I want to do. And for me to, like, take direction from people and do what people were telling me, like that was a spiritual experience for me, you know? Because you say left, and I'm going right. Like, that's how it's been my whole life. And, you know what? I don't know if they just got something in my head. I think I was just so desperate, man. Like I said, the gift of desperation. And it is a gift, man, because when we're desperate, we're willing to do whatever, you know. I would have did some outlandish things if you would have told me, hey, this is how you stay sober, man, you know. I just wanted the answer, you know. And today, you know, all my answers are in the book. And, you know, I got, my sponsor is the kind of guy, you know, you're reading the book and you kind of don't pronounce the word right, and he'll stop you and be like, you know what that means? And I'd be like, shit. You know, because I know that means when I tell him, I kind of know what it means, you know? He'd be like, all right, grab the dictionary. And that's what I needed, you know? He made sure I understood what I was reading. You know, and the book's written, you know, in the 30s, you know? No one's talking like that today. You know, but I did all these things that I didn't want to do. And sometimes, you know, early in sobriety, you know, I did it my way, you know, and I got my results. You know, I didn't get drunk or loaded, but, you know, the way things were turning out for me and how I was feeling inside, was I was getting, you know, what I was putting into it. And when I figured out that you get out of this sobriety thing, like the quality of living you want, you know, you get out of this what you put into it. So, I mean, if you really want this and you're going to do this, think about that. Because I'll tell you what, the more I do here in Alcoholics Anonymous, the better things go. Like, and life still happens, you know? Like, I know heartache, you know, and I know loss. And I lost someone that's close to me, really close to me, you know, that I've spent 3 years with, you know, this year. And to see this disease, you know, from the other side of the street, take someone you care about, like, it's nasty, man. Like, I was telling someone last night, I'm like, if this looked like this, you know, what she's doing, I'm like, it had to be, you know, a sight to see, you know, to see me from the other side, you know. It, I don't know how people could watch or be like, damn, did that really just happen, you know, again? And, because I just think lower, man. You know, I don't think I can get any lower, and then it happens. And then you're there, you know, and then, you know, rock bottom does have a basement. And, but anyways, like, when I just remember my first year of sobriety, like, you know, the pink cloud goes away. You know, you come out of treatment and you're like, hell, you know, like those people that, you know, when the year changes and they're like, new year, new me, you know, like, You just think everything, you know, is all hunky-dory, you know. But that does go away, you know. It's not a meeting program. It is a 12-step program. And that's where I found my relief. You know, the relief from the shit that swirls around inside my head, you know, especially when I lay my head down at night. You know, because I've done some things I shouldn't be able to sleep at night. And I sleep like a baby most nights. And I just remember, though, you know, early in sobriety, I would just feel good, man, like alive when I was driving back from my sponsor's house. Like I was doing something right for once. Like taking a step in the right direction. And I'll tell you what, I tried to do this too in the beginning. I would go to meetings and then I would go hang out with my boys. You know? You know, I'd be doing the right thing, but then I'd go hang out with the wrong people after. And certain things in my life weren't changing when I was doing that. And as soon as I, you know, cut these people out of my life, like, I quickly, you know what I mean? I found new friends here. And people that genuinely care about me. And, you know, they say, you know, I remember one of the counselors at rehab saying, you hang out at the barbershop every day, you're going to get a haircut. You know? And it's true, though, you know? Because they'll catch you on the right day, you know? And you might just be down just enough, you know? Even at 3 years of sobriety, when all this stuff happened, all this life happened, I was doing like 3 meetings a week, you know, and I have 2 service positions, and but I go to a meeting every day right now, and I wasn't even scared that I was going to get drunk or loaded. It wasn't even a thought in my mind, but you know how many, I've been here for 3 years, and I go to a lot of meetings, and you don't know how many people I've heard say, you know, this disease is cunning, baffling, powerful. And sometimes you hear people come back, you know, after going back out, and, you know, it came out of nowhere. So I go to a meeting almost every day right now. I'm going to go ahead and say every day. And you know what? I need it. And this is where I can be of maximum help to other people anyway. There's no wiggle room in the book, you know, like my sponsor says. There's no wiggle room. If you get this, we have to give this away to keep it. And it says in the book, you know, we should be going where we can be of maximum service to people. And all along, you know, working my steps, like, I remember coming to AA, you know, that few times I did over the years. And it was super easy for me to be like, I'm powerless over alcohol. You know, and I'd be drunk somewhere being like, it's all right, though, because I'm powerless. You know, and I'd use it as an excuse or something, you know. But when I finally came to terms with, hey, my life is unmanageable, like a friend of mine, Alan, in here, you know, he always says he couldn't make the simplest shit happen. And that's me, man. You know, I'd win you over and tell you I was going to be there. And, you know, the time would come, and where's Jonathan? Well, out there, I'm Johnny. You know, and it's like my evil twin. And I don't even know how that came about, you know. I was drunk somewhere, and next thing I know, everyone called me Johnny for years. And, but, I mean, let's see. Oh, we're not doing too bad. Yeah, that was step one. Anyways, I grew, you know, I wasn't like, I didn't believe in anything, you know. Like, I grew up Catholic, and I mean, I don't go to church all the time, but I do have some of those beliefs still. But when working my steps, like, I have a higher power, you know, or, I mean, you can't stand the word God, but I have a God personal to me today. And I never thought I'd be, you know, like, I grew up, you know, and I, you know, I got confirmed and all this stuff, and I've never been close with something greater than myself like I am today. And, you know, step 3, turning my will and my life over the care of God as you understand God. That was a big step for me. And I do that every day, man. I turn my will over right now. I do it like morning and night, man. And, because I don't want to make any mistakes. And I'm not perfect, you know. I am human. But, taking that control away from me And if you can grasp that, like work that step good and thoroughly and grasp that, boy, man, things work out. You'll start to like think about something and be like, you know what? I'm going to try this. Just this once. I'm going to trust my higher power. Everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And then whatever you were worried about, like it ends up being nothing, or it happens and it's not that bad, and then something good. Something good is right behind me. That's my experience, you know, and I'll still touch the steering wheel today. I'll still do it. And I get my results, like I said, when I do that. And I remember, you know, step four, I procrastinated. And I remember going to my sponsors and him being like, well, you know, you're not doing it for me. Because I felt bad. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm not done yet. But really, I hadn't even started it. But anyways, you know, he was like, hey, you're doing this for you. And, you know, as good as you do it is what you're going to get out of it. And you know what? I did it and it wasn't that bad. And, you know, on my resentment list, that was the biggest resentment I had. And you know, I shared it with him. And I've shared things with my sponsor that, you know, I got lucky. I picked the right guy because I can't shock him. But I've shared things with him, you know what I mean, even outside of my steps, you know, things, you know, we'll tell war stories or whatever, you know, and tell him things, you know, and he doesn't look at me like I'm, you know, an awful person or turn his back, you know. And then, you know, the way this thing's laid out is the first three steps are about alcohol or drugs, whatever you fancy. And every step after that is about changing us, man. It's about changing the things that made us drink and use. And it's weird, you know, when you identify all that stuff and you get it on paper, like, and you, I mean, like, I would always be like, oh, I don't want to write it out or something, you know. But when you write it out, it's weird. But sometimes you write stuff down that wasn't in your head. And I'll fight that too, still to this day. I'm like, I don't have time to write. But knowing what they are, you know, you're able to see them when they do come out. And I don't know about you guys, but like, the things I did and how long I did them, like living amends are huge for me. Huge. Because, I mean, when I take that drink, my brain takes everything I care about and pushes it in a dark corner of my head and throws a sheet over it. Plain and simple. It's the best way I can describe it. You know, and I will exhaust every energy I have into people that are just going to help me stay sick. You know, and if someone that cares about me asks about it, I'll be like, that's my family. You know, they understand me. We're just going through it. You know, and I wasn't going through anything. You know, I was going around everything. Today, I go through things. I feel shit that I don't want to feel. And some of it's harder than, you know, other things. And, you know, I had a lot of things I didn't want to happen this year. And you know, and I dealt with it when it happened, man. And it wasn't the end of the world. I didn't get drunk. You know, like 99 problems and a drink isn't one, you know. And I've gotten to make restitution for other things, you know. Financial amends. Pay people back money I borrowed. You know, or money I borrowed, you know, and then was paying, you know, and then, you know, where's Jonathan? And I have to do, you know, like, something, I mean, yeah, I mean, in a relationship, you might do a lot of 10-step work, but, and that's the truth. Yeah, never forget. You know, but being able to, you know, own up to what you said or did, it's huge. It's huge, man. To stop every day or to know something's on your mind and be like, you know what, I got to make this right. And I've done it, you know what I mean? I've gotten mad at people at parts counters, you know, for no reason, you know, something that wasn't their fault, you know, or, you know, get mad at the messenger for someone else's mistake, you know, and have to, like, go in and apologize the next day. And that feels good, man. Like, I remember, like, I was, like, a month or two sober and clean, and places I went were just being like, man, you look really good. What are you doing? What? You know, are you working out or something? You know, and I'm not buff or anything. I'm just like, what the hell? And I couldn't figure it out. You know, and at first I kind of got mad. I was just like, did I look that bad? You know, and I guess I did. You know, and it's weird. You know, but we can't see it when we're out there. We're the last people to see it. And I thought, you know what I mean? I remember telling lies, you know, and having to try to remember those lies the next day, you know, when I dealt with someone else. Because you can't cross up your lies, you know. And, almost made it. I think ultimately the best thing about this is being able to help somebody else. And see the change in someone, you know. And I mean, I don't want to sound like, I know this is going to sound bad, but I love it when I see someone come in and they're hurting that bad. I love it, man. Because I've been there, you know? It's because I've been there. But when you come and see someone that bad, it takes me back to that minute, dude, when I walked in here. Maybe one of the times I walked in here, you know? But the last time was the worst, you know? That was when I was in the most pain. And when I see someone break down, you know, because they don't know what's wrong with them and they don't know what to do, and they're just willing to do anything, it reminds me. It reminds me exactly where I'm headed, you know, and if I'll be so lucky to even make it back here if I decide to go test the water. Like, if you're in here and you're desperate, like, I'm not sugarcoating this, man. It works. It really works. And I was the biggest non-believer in this 12-step crap. You know, and lo and behold, the time I come in here and actually work my steps, you know, it's a trip, dude. Like, this is like my life today. All my friends are in AA. People call and check on me, you know. Like, there's a month out of the year when I'm busy, you know, and I try to catch a meeting here and there when I can't. You know, we're harvesting. And people will call me. Like, certain people know, you know, what I'm doing and why I'm not around. But if I miss two meetings at my home group, I get a phone call, dude, to check on me. And no one I used to hang out with calling to see how Jonathan's doing, you know, or Johnny's doing, you know. Nobody, man. And it's a trip. We always say, you know, a few of us say, you know, we have it better than we deserve. And, you know, when you've done things, you know, where you deserve a death sentence or, you know, a jail cell for life, you know, or a punishment that fits the crime, and you're living good like I am today, you know, here in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, imagine that. I do have it better than I deserve. And I'm just so blessed, man. It's a trip. But if I told you everything that's happened in the last 4 months, you would wonder how I could say I'm blessed. But, you know, it starts for me in the morning, man. I wake up instead of come to. I'm in my bed, you know. I'm not on the floor downstairs. I'm not coming to into a car accident. I'm not in a backyard on the north side with a bunch of chickens running around. You know, like, that's when my gratitude starts, dude. You know? There's no blood on me. And it just gets better, you know, as the day goes on, man. It's for me, it's how I'm going to look at everything. You know? Because I can easily pick out the one thing that isn't right to me and be pissed off, you know? And service work is big in here. something as simple as picking up chairs, man, could save your life. I got into service work. I remember people just kept talking about it, you know, and one of the happiest guys at my home group, and I would just be like, how is he so damn happy, man? You know, I didn't like it. But he always talked about doing service work, you know, so I'm just like, all right, I'm going to try this. And I did, man, and then like a month later, I got another service position. And sometimes I'm tired after work, you know, and I don't want to go be of service. And I go do it anyway, and comes out of left field, and I feel good when I leave there, man. And I have that experience, and I'll still be like, oh, man, why am I going to go? You know, I got to go make coffee and open the meeting. Shit, I didn't get a chair for this evening. That happens a lot right now. But here's the thing, you know. People did it. Like, see, I don't like talking up here. I mean, I'll do it to help alcoholics, help people like me. But this isn't my favorite thing to do. And, like, I've been talking this whole time, and, like, my nerves barely settled down. Like, you know. But people came and did this for me. You know, when I was early in sobriety and trying to get clean, who knows, you know, if the speaker, the guy that gave me a message that day, who knows if they had a rough day or what was going on in their life and they showed up anyway. You know, and I got fed that day. And that's why I do this, man. That's why I help other alcoholics. And when I'm taking a lot of guys through the book, shit's going really good. No matter what's happening in my life. You know, I've been able to grow a business in here. And some of my business comes from this room. You know? There's a network of people in here. And we, like the book says, we're people that normally wouldn't mix. You know? We have a buddy, you know, he's a surgeon, dude. Like, I'm just like, I trip out on that. You know? Like, we know a guy that really saves lives. You know? It's weird, man. When you used to hang out with the people that I used to hang out with, like, to be like, have a guy that's a surgeon call you, where am I? You know? I'm Jonathan, I'm an alcoholic.
Can we give him another?